Good evening. I've written on the board, passive Christianity, and I ask for your prayers. I have a pretty heavy burden, and I don't feel qualified to speak on it, but I want to be faithful to the Lord and what He would have for me to do, and I greatly appreciate the song that was just sung. It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And that sounds nice and warm and fuzzy. But there's a second part to that. It says, tried and true. That speaks to me of someone who's willing to go through a test. Someone who's willing to be tested to see if they're fit to be a sanctuary. Prepared to be a sanctuary. Prepared. What does that verse say? Meet for the master's use, that we would be prepared to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and be able to be prepared to be a sanctuary for the Lord, and that we might be tried and true. I have a burden about passive Christianity. First, I guess I'd like to define the word passive for the sake of this conversation. Passive, I guess, would be kind of a acceptance of what's going on, but more of a spectator with no real intent of action. Supporting in word what's going on, supporting, oh, I'm a Christian, I follow the Lord, but then not really being willing to do anything about it. Just being passive. Being a passive, I think of it in the work terms. If someone is a very passive, they take their job as very passive, as they don't really seek to excel, and they don't really seek to, they just want to be there, and they just want you to give them a paycheck and go on their merry way, but there's just never a desire to really be a good employee, but not really be a bad one either, just to be there. And we have some of those kind of people at my job, and you know, they're there, but there's never no one is ever going to pick them out of a team and say, I want them to be the leader of this team, or I want them to do this critical job. It's typically, you know, what can we give this person? There's no passion there. There's no desire to excel. So I guess my thought goes to what the scripture says about of how we are to live our lives for the Lord. We have a responsibility to do more than just barely get by. This takes more effort than just saying, I accept the blood of Jesus, and then going about our way. We heard a little bit about this morning in our Sunday school lesson, false religion. You know, the scripture in multiple places instructs us that there has to be some action. We know, obviously, and it's the scripture bears us out too, we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by the things that we do. But there does have to be some effort and some actions. You know, faith, what does the scripture say? Faith without works is dead. If there's nothing to back it up, you know, I say all these things, but then no one ever sees that I am willing to step out and do anything to back it up. And one of the things I feel like that we can struggle with, and it's laid out pretty plain in Proverbs. So I'd like to go to the first chapter of Proverbs, and let's start reading in verse 20. We'll probably read a few scriptures here. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying. So then, sometimes it can be misinterpreted that this is God saying some of these things, but this is the way this is written. This is wisdom talking to us. She's crying out, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. That's a sobering passage to read. You know, wisdom is crying in the street saying, I'm offering you reproof. I'm offering you guidance. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will you love to just go about status quo? Just be good enough. How long will you just choose to be simple? How long will you choose to despise knowledge? There's times in law, I guess you would say, where if you choose to not know a law that you should have known, doesn't mean you're not responsible for that law. If I choose to, when I'm going past the speed limit sign, purposely not look at the speed limit sign, and then tell the officer where I didn't know that I was speeding because I never saw the speed limit sign, and well, that's not his problem. It was there. I chose to not know about it because I wanted to look somewhere else. I chose to not gain any knowledge because I didn't want to be held accountable. But what happens if you get stopped for going 60 and 35? You're going to be held accountable because you should have known. It was there. You should have known about it. It was made available to you. You had that opportunity to know it, and you chose to not know. Fools hate knowledge. The Proverbs is full of some pretty strong language, and I'm very challenged by it because I can identify with the fool a lot of times in Proverbs. I'll just say that. A lot of times you start reading Proverbs and you realize, goodness, sounds kind of like me sometimes. When you start reading Proverbs, you realize, Lord, help me. I don't want to be one that you consider to be a fool. That I hate the knowledge, that wisdom that God has available for me. Then you go on further to verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. And you have set at naught all my counsel, and would not do any of my reproof. And that 26th verse is the one that catches my attention. Wisdom will laugh at your calamity. Whenever you come up against something and say, well, I didn't know. I didn't realize that this is where I should have been. Or when we become tested, to when we maybe sing a song saying, I want to, Lord, test me. I want to be true. I want to be a sanctuary for you. Then we get tested and we find out, you know, I wasn't measuring up. I wasn't to the place that I should have been because I've been ignoring knowledge that was available to me. I've been ignoring the knowledge that's available to me at my fingertips, at church, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. There's wisdom to be had. There's reproof. There's encouragement. There's love. There's wisdom is crying out, and it's available. And if we choose to turn and say, I don't want to look that way because I don't want to be held accountable, I don't want to hear that, I don't want to see that, we're going to be held accountable, and wisdom will laugh at our calamity. Whenever the very thing that we're trying to ignore comes back to bite us, wisdom is there to, and I'm not saying God's not literally going to laugh at us whenever we mess up. That's not the spirit of God, but I think we understand the what was intended here with in Proverbs. It was there for you. Wisdom was trying to be there, and you chose to say, I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Lord, help us that we recognize the places that we are maybe being a little passive. Maybe we're not stepping out the way the Lord would like us to step out. Maybe we're not, maybe we're holding out on the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Or, you know what, Lord, I want to serve you, but just in case you want to call me to whatever you name it, just in case you call me to this, I think I'm just going to try to stay back here, so I'm not quite qualified for that. I don't want to quite be to that level. I just want to stay back here and just be passive. I just want to let life come and go. I want to let blessings come and go, and my Thanksgiving just kind of come and go like a little gentle brook. I just don't really have any passion. Just I want to serve you. I'm just going to tell you that's not going to work out. It's not going to. You got to have something more than that to be able to stand up to whenever something difficult and tough comes along. A passive, someone who takes things very passively, especially something as important as our Christianity, our walk with Christ, it's not going to last because it's only surface deep. It doesn't go, whenever we become so passive about our relationship with the Lord that, the Lord will bless me. I'll just show up to church and there's going to be a blessing for me. But if we didn't do anything, what did we do before we got there? Did we pray about it? Did we just call a song because it's my favorite one that I like to sing every Sunday? Or Lord, help us that we actually put effort. Say, Lord, what Joshua said, you got to make a decision at this point. So if you want to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, you need to make a decision today. Make a decision right now. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites? Because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm serving the Lord, my whole family, and this is what we're going to do. That's the stance that, y'all, we have to take. We have to make that choice because you have to know what you're going to do and where you stand before the crisis comes. You can't wait until the crisis shows up to say, oh, I'm going to serve the Lord now. You got to have something established before you get to that point. There has to be a relationship built with the Lord before the crisis comes. And that takes effort. It takes work. It takes time of not hearing from the Lord. It takes time of being on your face before the Lord and praying and saying, Lord, I don't hear you right now, but Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to understand more. Will you please? You go read in Daniel, and Daniel was on his face praying for 3 weeks, I think it was, before he finally heard from the Lord. But the Lord told him, I heard you the whole time. I heard you from day one. It takes those kind of moments. It takes the time of, Lord, I don't hear you, but this is what I'm going to do. I've made up my mind I'm going to serve you. That's not being passive. Being intentional about serving the Lord, making a decision that I'm going to do this no matter what comes my way. In Hosea, we're not going to turn there, but there's a scripture there where he said, my people, I think it was God speaking to Hosea, said, my people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it wasn't because there was no knowledge to be had. They had chosen to walk away from the knowledge or just not know the knowledge. There's another sobering passage I'd like for us to read, because I believe that when we say that I want to be a child of God, when I want to walk with the Lord, we have a responsibility to help others. And it may just be our biggest priority is our family, obviously ourselves and our family. But we are to be watchmen for each other. And I know a lot of times this is kind of interpreted to be more towards ministry and things. But I think that each one of us is responsible for this in their own way. Ezekiel 33. Let's start with verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's a sobering thought, is it not? That I may, kind of going back to what we're talking about, if I choose to not know something, I choose to not know there's a danger coming. And by me choosing to not know, I then, by default, don't blow the trumpet. I'm in a serious place with the Lord at that point. We have a responsibility to seek the Lord and know, where is the danger coming from? What is it that's at risk? What is it that's bringing the most risk to my life, to my salvation, to my family, to the people around me? And not that we should be going, this isn't talking about going and meddling in everybody's business and telling them, look, this is what I see coming in your life that you need to deal with. No, but if I'm choosing to not know the danger, I want to just not pay attention to the rustling in the bushes over here, and I choose to not blow the trumpet because I chose to not know, Scripture has some pretty strong language of what the blood of those that are taken because of that is now upon me because I chose to not warn. I chose to not know. I chose to not blow the trumpet and let everyone know that there's danger coming. There's something out there that we need to look out for. Lord, help us that, y'all, this is no time for us to be passive. There is much for each one of us to do. No matter where your ministry is, if it's in your home, if it's in your school, if it's at your workplace, if it's overseas, if it's in a pulpit somewhere, if it's leading singing, what is your ministry? Maybe it's just to be a prayer warrior behind the scenes. I don't know what that is. The Lord assigns those to each person. But we can't be passive about it. We cannot. If the Lord places that on our hearts, we need to step out and we need to say, this is how I'm going to do it, Lord, and this is what I aim to do it to please you. I want to bring others to you to the purpose of bringing more people to you, to strengthening the flock of God and to increasing the flock. That should be our goal. And then also, obviously, to develop our relationship with the Lord. Jesus said some sobering words as well. He said somewhere, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. I'm paraphrasing, but he said this, basically the same thing. There's going to be people who say, Lord, Lord, I've served you. I'm one of them. But they're not going to make it. And for a variety of reasons, but I believe one of them is going to be because of being passive. Just letting life come and go. Letting my Christianity just kind of ebb and flow. I think there's I may be getting mixed up between Old Testament and New Testament, but I know there's the Lord said about no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, there's only so long you can be passive. There's only so long before at some point you're going to go to one side or the other. You're going to choose. You can still say, "Where I'm serving the Lord," but it's going to be to the point where the Lord said, "You can't keep halting between two opinions. You're going to choose one or the other. It doesn't work. Being passive for a period of time, you're going to be on one side or the other." Lord, help us that we start seeking the Lord. Well, let's go to. I want to go to I think it's Matthew. It's in all three of the Gospels, I believe. About the greatest commandment. I think it's Mark is the one I'm looking for. Mark 12. is whenever they asked what the greatest commandment was. Mark 12, and I believe it's 30. Yes, and go to verse 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." That doesn't sound like passiveness, does it? That doesn't sound like he's calling for a bunch of passive followers to say, I'm going to follow you and I'm just going to meander along behind you. He said, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. He covers all aspects of our existence. He covers the physical with our strength, our mental state with our mind, our emotional being with our heart, the seat of our emotions, and then also with our soul, our spirit. Serve God, seek Him with every ounce of everything that makes up who I am. My physical, my mental, my spiritual, my emotional, all of that. He covered every one of those. And that's how he said, that's the most important thing. That comes first. If you seek me, and I think it's later on, he says, seek the Lord, kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek these things first. Don't be passive. Seek me. And then all these other things, you'll understand then, what does the Lord want me to do? If I seek the Lord with all my heart and all my strength and all my mind, what's going to happen if I do that? Then I'm going to know what His will is for me. Then I'm going to be willing to say, Lord, if I am truly, honestly seeking Him with all my soul and all my mind, my heart and my strength, I'm going to be doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not going to be passive. I'm not going to be just saying, Lord, Lord, and serving Him with, I think it's in 1 John, he said, let us not love in word, or basically with just our mouths. Let's not just say we do it with our mouths. Back it up. Let's live it. Don't just say that I'm going to do these things. Don't just tell the Lord. What's the parable about the two sons that one said, absolutely, I'll go do it, and then he didn't. And then the other one who finally turned and said, he said, no, I'm not going to do it, but then he decided, you know what, I am going to go. And he found him, the master later found him being faithful in his vineyard and working. Lord, help us that we be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to seek you with every ounce of what makes me me. My physical, mental, spiritual, emotional being. I'm going to serve you and I'm going to seek you with every ounce of that. And that takes work. It takes effort. And you can't do it by being passive. I'm challenged by this thought. I'm not casting any stones because I have a lot of work to do myself. The Lord has been working with me on this, and Lord, help us as a people that we recognize these things, that we see, where does the Lord want me to be? He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Let's turn. I think that's in Revelations. Revelations 3. I think it's about the middle somewhere. 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I don't want the Lord to look at me and think of me as a fool for despising wisdom and knowledge and ignoring my duty to warn, to seek ways to serve Him, to get a deeper walk with the Lord. I'm challenged by these things and I'm sobered by those things, I don't want to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. I don't want to be one that he finds to be distasteful when he samples my life. Lord, help me that I'm not distasteful to him. But there's hope as well. I don't want it to sound like all doom and gloom, that we just have a lot of work and there's no... He said, he laid it out pretty simple. This is the first commandment. Seek me. Seek to know me. And he's not going to run away from us when we go. It's not like we have to start chasing him around and say, Lord, I'm trying to find you. Now. Seek him with our whole heart. Seek him with everything we have. It's simple. Simple doesn't always mean easy, but it's simple. It's a simple commandment. And he said, this is number one. This is the number one commandment. Seek me with everything that you are. And if you do that, all these other things, I'm going to help you with that. Those will be added unto you. Seek me with your whole heart. Lord, help us that we do that. I ask that y'all pray for me. I'm very humbled with these kind of thoughts that I want to do the Lord's will. Y'all pray for me.